Today's episode of The Grape Talks is brought to you by Best Fiends. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. Today on The Grape Talks, born an empath. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's metaphysical. The story of Doreen Fisher is a compelling one. It's a journey through a life surrounded by the supernatural, some of it positive, some of it very haunting and negative. Today we hear her story of being wrapped in positive warmth by an energy she couldn't explain, all the way to an energy that nearly drove her off the road, literally. Doreen Fisher's story today on The Grape Talks.
Well, I think I was probably born with it, but my earliest memory of strange things being thrown at me was watching In Search Of episodes with my mom. So she had an interest in it. She didn't talk about it a lot, but she would turn these shows on the weekends and watch them. And of course I'd sit there and watch them with her, and the fascination grew from there. But I think I was probably born with it, because I don't know. When I listened to my father telling me, you know, if I got out of bed at night and the boogeyman would get me, I always had this picture of the boogeyman as a Bigfoot. I mean, I already knew Bigfoot when I was that small. So I think I was born with it, definitely.
How interesting. So when you say born with it, are you referring to the interest, the passion, or are you referring to, do you have some abilities, some sensitivities to this?
I am an empath. Yes, I do have sensitivities to energy, and they have grown over time. I'm also clairaudient, which means I have psychic hearing. I hear things like if I have a question in my mind, an answer will come to me. I'll turn on the radio and the answer will be in the words of a song, or I'll see a sign that will answer my question. Things like that. That's what being clairaudient is. Sometimes I just hear things in my head, but mostly it comes in the form of music or something like that. So, but that's developed over quite a few years, and it's gotten very keen in the last couple of years. So, but I had a passion for it, but I felt that these things were real. I mean, it was real to me because I could feel, I had a sense that these things were real. So it was just always there, and it's really hard to explain in detail, but I've just always had a sense of all of these things. And I've had little experiences from the time I was very small. Just, I was a weird kid. So I was by myself a lot. I didn't have a lot of friends. So I was out wandering around in the woods and things like that, and had strange little experiences, like feeling like something was watching me in the woods. And I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would hear voices telling me things or calling my name. Trying to think of some of the other things, but just small, weird things that have happened to me ever since I can remember, actually. So,
Would you say some of the earliest memories for you would be things like that, like being out in the woods, kind of feeling watched, hearing the voices in the middle of the night calling your name?
Yeah, there's a lot more.
Sure.
How much time do you have?
Well, we got an hour. So if there's other, you know, really interesting things here, what's really interesting about having these conversations is there's so many people that are listening that have had experiences similarly, but they've never been able to talk about them. So sometimes some of those moments where you feel like, well, you know, this isn't important. It can be. And you end up really reaching and hitting someone that needs to hear, you know, they're not alone. So, yeah, any parts of your story you want to share, the more the better.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, before this one event happened. There were a lot of smaller things, but I'm going to go to my first major event of what I would call a haunting in a house that I lived in. Mm-hmm. After years of weird little things happening to me, I was pretty well primed for this whole event. When I moved out of my parents' house, I moved in with a friend, and it was a big, old, creepy-looking Victorian house. It was just a really, really big, old house, and it had a lot of strange energy in it anyway when I moved in, but this friend was not there very often. She was out traveling a lot of the time, so I was there by myself with my dog, and it was kind of quiet in that house a lot of the time. I don't really watch a lot of TV, so I would be sitting reading. There was a big room between the dining room and the living room that was, I call the reading room, because it had bookshelves, and I put all of my books there. I'm a crazy reader, so all of my books were in that room, and I had a big couch in there, and I would sit in there and read quite a bit. And anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. There were some noises in that house that I couldn't identify, and I would be upstairs. This is a huge house. I mean, it's hard to describe. Big house, big ceilings, lots of rooms, lots of ornate woodwork and all the stuff. It was quite a house. But anyway, I would be sleeping upstairs, and the first thing I remember was hearing the floor creaking in the hallway outside of my bedroom. And I knew that the only thing that would make that floor creak was something walking down the hallway. I made that floor creak myself when I was walking down the hallway. So, and of course, there was no one else in the house except the dog. And the dog was always with me. So I would hear this going up and down the hallway in the middle of the night. And strangely, you know, the way I had lived and felt about things for all those years, I wasn't really afraid of it. But I would just listen to it and wonder about it. And the dog would sometimes go to the bedroom doorway that was open, and she would just kind of look out, and she kind of tilt her head like she heard it too, but, you know, she didn't do anything else other than that. Well, this kept going on for quite a while, and I would hear noises in some of the other rooms, kind of just banging noises, nothing really loud or scary or anything like that, but I would just hear it all the time. And I was curious about it. I figured, you know, there was something living there with me. There was some kind of ghost, I guess. And I just kind of kept listening for it and everything. Well, back to the reading room where I was sitting on the couch reading my books. One day I just happened to look up, and I had a big Merriam-Webster collegiate dictionary, a big giant dictionary that was one up on one of the higher shelves. Mm-hmm. A very heavy book, as you know. And I just happened to look up, and it just flew off the shelf. It was almost like somebody had taken their finger and just flipped it off the shelf, and it landed on the floor.
Not exactly an easy object to go and do that on its own.
It's not something that fell off.
No.
It was something that knocked off of there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, somebody wants me to know they're here.
Sure.
So after that happened, I still wasn't afraid. That was the thing. It did not scare me. I'm empathic, and the energy was not, it wasn't any negative type of energy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, later on, I noticed that the dog would run to the stairway. There was a big stairway in the front hallway, you know, the classic stairway in the old houses.
Sure.
And anyway, it was a big stairway. Anyway, the dog would keep running to the bottom of the steps. She would leave the living room where I was, and she'd run to the bottom of the stairway, and she'd look up and she'd bark. but she didn't want to go up there. I kept telling her, well, go up there and see what it is, but she would not go up there. This happened, I don't know, numerous times. This has been so many years ago, it's hard to remember details, but anyway, I don't know how many times this happened, but anyway, I think it was later on, I had gone into the kitchen one day, and I was doing some work in the kitchen, and I came back into the living room. I was running back and forth. I can't remember what I was doing, but anyway, the big hallway was right next to the living room where the stairway was, and there was a, we had a big piano there. It was like one of those big stand-up pianos. I don't know what you call them, but anyway, there was we had family pictures on top of that piano. And I came out. Now, keep in mind, I was by myself in the house when all this stuff happened. Anyway, I came out. I was in the living room. I was staring at the hallway, and there were two pictures that were laying face down on the floor. Now, what you have to understand about this is I had those pictures staggered, and the pictures that were laying on the floor had been behind other pictures, but those pictures were not knocked off like they would have been if something would have just knocked them down.
So is a physical impossibility there for what occurred?
Right. Something had picked up the pictures and laid them face down on the floor. Two of them. And I put them back up, and I still wasn't scared. There was no negative energy at all. But I picked them up and put them back up, and I went back to work in the kitchen. I was kind of thinking about it, you know, what the heck's going on here? And, you know, something wants me to know it's here.
Yeah.
And anyway, I was working in the kitchen, minding my own business, thinking that was it for the day. Nothing else was going to happen. Well, I went back to the living room, and I looked in the hallway, and those two pictures were laying on the floor again. The same ones.
And you knew you already, I mean, this isn't like days later or anything. You knew you had just corrected the situation.
I had just corrected. This was the same day, and there might have been an hour time lapse or something, but it wasn't very long.
Yeah.
It happened again. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I like how just nonchalant you are, but like, yeah. So I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Back to our conversation here in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Best Fiends. I love this mobile puzzle game. I got it on my phone. I've had it on there for more than a year now. And when I get a little downtime, or I need a little mental palate cleansing, as I call it, I pick this thing up. It's fun. It's exciting. There's always new levels. There's always something new, a new challenge. It exercises your brain while letting you escape at the same time. That's, I think, the best way I can put it. Seriously. I mean, I was in a huge line the other day. At a government facility, go figure, and just going to get some things renewed, and you probably know what I'm talking about, and it was like, oh my God, what am I going to do, and I'm going to pull that out, because I didn't want to read the news, I didn't want to, you know, get lost in social media, that just pulls me down, I wanted something kind of positive and fun. Best Fiends is what I pulled out. I'm in the 600s now on levels. If you play, you know what I'm talking about. Best Fiends, it's a mobile puzzle game. Anyone can download and play, whether you have a few minutes or a few hours. Best Fiends, it's a perfect puzzle game to lose yourself in because you're having so much fun. Features tons of cute characters, help you solve thousands of puzzles. The more you play, the more characters you collect, and the more you win, the more challenges that you will face. New stuff added to it all the time. Thousands of levels. You literally can play as long as you want and never get bored. Trust me on that. Download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
So anyway, I just little things like that, and I kept hearing noises every day, different noises. I would hear something in the other room. I would hear like little, like a footstep or two or something that sounded like it. The dog continually would go to the stairway and look up the stairs and wouldn't go upstairs. Every night, creaking in the hallway and everything. And the dog was having puppies and I'm not sure how much later this was, but a little later. She was having puppies, and we'd set up a place in the basement for her to have her puppies. And we were running up and down the basement. Well, my friend left to go to work. She was gone for a few days, and I was there by myself with the dogs, and the puppies had been born. They were downstairs, and I was down there quite a bit checking on them. Well, one day I was down there and I heard some really heavy footsteps going across the hardwood floors upstairs. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe my dad came in or something. I didn't know, but it sounded like somebody was really tromping through in like heavy boots or something.
Yeah.
And anyway, I went upstairs and I'm looking around and I'm hollering, you know, Dad, are you there? And it's like, nobody's there, of course.
Yeah.
So I'm standing in the kitchen. I'm like, okay, you know, I knew something was up. This was the same thing that was going on. I'm like, okay, I'm okay with you being here, whoever you are. I just don't ever want to see you. If I don't ever see you, I'm fine with it. You can stay here forever if you want to. I just don't want to see you. I was sure I couldn't handle seeing whatever this was.
Sure.
So that was my thought at the time. And anyway, I never did see it. But I did some research later on, and the only thing I could find in the history of the house was that the local fire chief had lived there and he had died there of pneumonia. That was the only thing I could think of, but that leads me to the ending of the story, mm-hmm. which is curious because the house caught fire and I didn't realize it, but the cops were pounding on the door one night. This was maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. Pounding on the door, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Well, they told me the house was on fire.
Oh, my God.
And I couldn't believe it. Well, anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself again. But before that, I felt someone sit down on the foot of my bed.
Okay.
And it felt like, it reminded me of when my mother used to sit at the foot of my bed when I was sick, when I was little.
Sure.
That's what it felt like. Anyway, the next thing I know, the firemen are at the door and the house is on fire. And, you know, the whole thing with the firemen living there and dying there, I don't know if that has anything to do with anything, but I always kind of had a feeling that it might have been him. I don't know. But
how bad was the fire?
The fire wasn't really too bad. They actually caught it in time. It didn't burn through the roof or anything.
Wow.
But it burnt some wiring and stuff like that. But luckily, you know, everybody was on the ball in the middle of the night, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And got me out of the house and got the fire put out and everything was fine. But I'll never know exactly what was up with that, but I don't know. I always go back to the fireman. It was just a strange thing that happened. And I still think it was him.
Yeah. I mean, and it's an interesting thing. What I find interesting too is how you say it kind of, you know, it reminded you of your mother at the end of your bed as well.
It did. It was a very comforting feeling. Like somebody that was, that had children or something.
It's like, hey, honey, wake up, you know,
Yeah, like not trying to alarm me or something.
But your house is on fire. It's okay. Get a snack on your way out.
Yeah, but when I found out the house was on fire, I'm like, get me the hell out of here. But yeah, and the dog had been trying to wake me up for hours, and I guess she knew it was probably smoldering before that, and I was just like, leave me alone, dog. Go back to bed.
Well, and especially with the dog, you know, always kind of being a little bit on edge or kind of hearing or sensing things that maybe you're not hearing or sensing. It's just kind of another day when you're kind of in that situation.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my ghost story. There are many others.
Oh, yes.
But that was the biggest one.
Well, so. I want to go to some others here in a moment, but I want to talk about some elements of that and just kind of get your opinions, because these are just interesting events that occur. And I always am curious as to what others' opinions are on how logistically they happen. We know they happen. We're already there. We're accepting right. that these things happened. But right. what I wonder about is things like the pictures. You know, it's easy to say, okay, well, you know, a spirit knocked the dictionary off the shelf. Okay. I mean, it's a far stretch for many, but it's a clear shot. So right. you can go, okay, I get how that happened. But when you have yeah. things that do things like that, like they literally jumped a picture and yeah,
I would have liked to have seen yeah. how they got to the floor.
That's
but
the
I
question.
Didn't catch that. So that, yeah. I really wanted to know.
And people have those sort of things all the time where it's like that. You can see exactly where it was from point A to point B, or it's in a completely different area of the house. What's your thoughts on that? On how, you know, if there was a security camera watching that happen, what would we be seeing, do you think?
Yeah, I really wish I knew. I have struggled with that for years. I don't know. It would seem to me that it would take, well, I used to think it would take a lot of energy for something, some entity to do that, but I don't really believe that anymore. I think it might have been easy, because if they wanted me to know they were here, I don't know. Yeah. it really puzzles me. I wish I did know, but that was what really convinced me that something in that house really wanted me to know it was there, and it wasn't harmful. It wasn't a negative energy at all. It was almost funny.
Yeah.
Because the second time it happened, you know, the second time I found those pictures on the floor, I kind of laughed, because I'm like, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
you know, I know you're here.
When you made that statement to the entity of, hey, you know, we can coexist here, did you think it would work? Had you done that before in any other situation where you knew,
I hadn't done that before, but I had heard other people tell me stories in which they have said, okay, I'm okay with you being here. You know, there's no conflict between us.
Yeah.
I'm okay with you existing here. You haven't caused me any harm or any problems. It's yeah. been kind of amusing, really.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I've heard of other people doing that, and I thought, well, you know, I'll try it. And the fact that I really did not want to see an apparition inside my house. If I did that, I probably would have had to move. I don't know. All the other activity didn't bother me at all, but if I had seen something, that might have been different. So I guess I felt like I had to tell this thing that I really don't want to see you, and hope that it would, you know, not show itself. And it never did.
Yeah.
It never did. In fact, the activity really stopped after that. It really, there wasn't anything much after the fire and everything. It was pretty much over with. So it's strange. I don't know if it yeah. left or calmed down or what. It's just really strange to me.
Do you think the fire was just kind of a naturally occurring thing, and that the entities were trying to help you? Or do you think the entities had anything to do with the fire itself when you look back on it retrospectively?
I've thought about that, but I really, you know, empathically speaking, I didn't get any feeling that I was being, you know, threatened in any way. I think it happened on its own, and, you know, this person was maybe trying to help me and get me out of the house.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about it anyway.
Sure. In that case, it's something that was there, and that was there to help. So,
right.
So tell me how things continued to, you know, progress for you in life and other occurrences that occurred for you.
Well, from that, I was really a true believer after that. I'd kind of played around with the idea that these things exist. up to that point, and after that happened, I was pretty sure that there was more to reality than what we all understand. And I had other things happen. I lived in another haunted house. The story isn't as good as that one, but we would leave the house at night. This is when I was married. My husband and I would leave the house in the evening time. We knew all the lights were off in the house, and we'd come home and all the upstairs lights would be on. Every single one of them would have been turned on. We had something that was knocking stuff off of our kitchen counters, knocking. I used to iron my clothes for work. This has been a long time ago. I used to iron my clothes for work. I'd do it on top of the dryer, and I'd leave the iron sitting there.
Sure.
And, you know, I'd put it back against the back of the dryer while I wasn't there so it wouldn't fall off. And then I'd come out, and it was, you know, out in the middle of the floor. You know, something had thrown it out in the middle of the floor, and just stuff like that. It just, I don't know. I think these things, I don't know if they follow certain people, but I think that we create it to a certain degree. I mean, you know, it all goes back to you create your own reality. I think thought forms are a real thing in which people project their energy onto something. And I think we're responsible for some of this to a point. But that house that I'm talking about was right across the street from an Indian burial ground. So it was always a really curious spot because we'd, you know, close the gate. We had a big lock on the outside gate on the fence. And
yeah,
we'd get up every morning and this gate would be wide open. And, you know, just weird things happen. Sure. I just had a weird feeling about it. Anybody could have opened the gate. I realized that. But I don't know. When you're empathic, you get feelings about things that, you know, people will try to tell you, well, it was just this or it was just that, you know, it was just kids doing that or whatever. And I'm like, sometimes I get the sense that that was what it was, but other times I get the sense that there was more to it. So does that make any sense? I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm very interested in this kind of idea that, you know, the idea of us almost projecting some of these things out there, these thought type entities that... Is it, you know, chicken before the egg on some things? How often, and this is all just opinion, how often are we haunting ourselves? And it's not the dead. It's not somebody else's residual energy. How often is this just us doing this to each other? We don't even realize it.
Okay. You want me to tell you what I really think about?
Yeah, I'd love to.
I think that most of the time we're creating it. I honestly do. And it's because... In studying the paranormal, what that led me to is quantum physics.
Okay.
Because you start to get the feeling that reality isn't quite what you think it is, and it can be a little bit creepy at times, the way it works. But anyway, when you study quantum physics, you realize that we have more control over what's going on around us than we think we do.
Okay.
And honestly, we control things unconsciously a lot of the time. You know, we are capable of creating things consciously, but most people don't know that. So what we're doing is we're creating things unconsciously. And basically, when we believe in something, we give energy to it. And whenever somebody talks about ghosts or something,
yeah,
I have more of a tendency to have a haunting experience because it puts that seed in my head. And what I do is I start thinking about it, and I'm giving energy to something. And when you're giving energy to something, you're actually kind of creating it. So, see... The thing is, it's really, really hard to talk to people about this because they don't we've kind of been taught to think that this kind of thing isn't real, but basically what quantum physics tells us is that we're creating our reality at every single moment. So if that's the case, then we're also creating a haunting. So I've kind of struggled with how to explain that to other people and have them understand it, because some people who have experienced a haunting, they have had a bad experience, very negative experience, and they're like, I didn't create that. I would not create that. I'm like, you wouldn't create it consciously, but you know, if you're scared to death, like, okay, paranormal investigators, ghost hunters, when they go in to investigate a haunting, they kind of have to get control of their emotions, because if they don't, I think they're creating something when they go in there. I mean, for one thing, okay, they go into a haunted house, a house that somebody says is haunted, or an insane asylum or something like that. Anyway, it's well known for all of its hauntings. Well, when you go in there, you're thinking this place is haunted.
Yeah.
So you're kind of giving energy to that idea. So you're kind of feeding the entity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think that's always the case. I think that people think I'm crazy sometimes, but I think that there are possibly ETs walking around too that are hiding in certain places and are trying to keep us out of them. The whole Scooby-Doo story where, you know, they dressed up like a ghost to keep other people away so they could, you know, cook up crank in the bathtub or something, you know. That kind of thing. But am I making sense?
No, you are. I mean, and this is what I love. This is what we do on the show. It's everybody's just kind of telling their thoughts and their theories. We all operate kind of from the starting point of, we believe this stuff is happening. It's just how. And that's where, you know, you end up with far more questions than you do answers.
Right.
But that's half the fun of it.
But the whole thought form thing, I haven't formed a complete theory on that, but I do know that we have a lot more control of our reality than we think we do, and I do know that a lot of the things that happen to us they come from our state of mind. Like, if we're in a negative state of mind, how often have you had the experience where you're kind of in a rotten mood and you go through your day and terrible things happen to you? You know, it just gets worse and worse. It escalates.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start out in a good mood, everything kind of clicks,
sure.
You know, everything goes good. So, I mean, that's kind of an example of how we create our reality. And I think it's the same with, you know, hauntings and things like that. And like people who say they've encountered demons and things like that. I think, you know, it has a lot to do with their state of mind.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Duraine. To hear part two of it, become a gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our program. In part two, we'll talk about, do we sometimes go off the rails of our own reality or timeline and create our own hauntings? Is the Mandela effect a true paranormal occurrence or a simple act of our memory failing us? When Duraine first started investigating quantum physics, what were some of the first theories that surprised her? And when Duraine was in a desperate state, and a very depressed one as well, did she believe that she was being tormented by something negative that could not be easily explained? Those questions and more in part two of our conversation. To hear it, become a gravekeeper, sign up at thegravetalks.com. Click Become a Gravekeeper, or go to Patreon or download the Patreon app and search for The Grave Talks. There you'll get access to all of our part two conversations, hundreds of them waiting for you to binge away on, and all of our episodes released to you in advance, all commercial free. Check it out, patreon.com/thegravetalks, or go to thegravetalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, Tony Bruschi, thanks for listening.